Tonight we're going to look at you can know everything will work out. You can know that everything will work out. When we read Scripture, you and I know as Christians that in the reading of the Scripture, we are hearing God's voice speak to us. It is through His Word that we find the power. It is through His Holy Spirit that will take His Word. And as the Holy Spirit directs that Word in our lives, then we know that God has given us a call, or God has spoken to us and saying to us, everything's going to be okay. You know, we get in situations in life and we don't think that we can stand one more thing on us, not one more straw, or the camel's going to break. We think that, you know, I don't know how good can come from all of this chaos. Well, God says we can know that everything is going to work out. And in knowing it, God says, I know that it is. So therefore, as Christians, you and I trust God. When God says it's going to work out, then we need to accept it's going to work out. For many years, in the earlier years of where people had a real hard time with chaplaincy in prison, you had a lot of folk fighting, you know, to stop a chaplain from, you know, even ministering in prisons, saying that that is accepting the evil, you know, that inmates have, and they're going to get back out and do that. Anyway, I remember saying multitudes of time that if you can stop me from ministering in the prisons or wherever God's called me, that's fine. That will just tell me that I don't really have God's call. But if I have God's calling, you can't stop me. You're not going to stop me. And knowing that, that is trusting God. You don't trust your own ability. Because on our own, our ability is just about shot, folks. Because we are, in our generation today, we are bombarded with everything of the world. Everything that is evil comes before us. And we don't know what to do. We do not know how to properly separate. So God says, trust me. That's where the prayer comes in. Trust me. Talk to me before you go out in the world this morning or today. Speak to me and let me give you direction. There are four different principles that we'll have that will help us. Look to God's leadership. You, as an individual, cannot be the leader of your life. Because if you take over your own life, we're refusing to allow our life to be in the hands of God. We're disallowing the Holy Spirit to work in us because, I'm a leader, so therefore, as a leader, I'll just take care of myself also. That's not what leadership is. Leadership for the Christian is leading people to Christ, not making people follow you, but directing folk to listen to Christ, and in that process, they are going to meet the true leader, because everything, if it's going to work out for us, it's going to have to work out through our Creator, not us. The next is I want us to identify God's thinking. When you're in any situation, focus on what does the Bible say. That is the thoughts of God. When I need to know, Lord, whether this is from you or not. Pray, read your scripture, pray, read the scripture, pray, read the scripture, and continually. And you will get that thinking from God and knowing that you're following His leadership. And when you're following His leadership, you're following His thinking. Next, follow God's counsel. Counsel is focusing on us as, once again, pray. Pray, pray. Father, I need counsel. We'll go to our friends, and we go to our friends simply because we just feel like we need to tell it to someone. We feel like, you know, maybe this individual, they've been through that, they can help us. Well, here's how this works. It's when God directs you to a fellow Christian, and God said, you know, gives you that direction to go talk to them. What God is doing is saying, talk to that individual because that individual is going to tell you what I've done in their life. That's the testimony that every one of us have. So therefore, it is not that individual that's going to give you the strength. It is the same love of God, the same voice, the same thinking of God, the same leadership of God that has blessed our life. Then we share that blessing with our friends or with our enemies or whatever. That's to seek counsel. Don't ever, when someone talks to you about, will you give me counseling? What I will do is, and from the counseling standpoint, I will be glad to sit down and let's talk. And then in the process, you all do the same thing with one another. That's counseling, that you sit down and talk and say, well, I do remember this verse. Yeah, you know, I remember when I was in this particular ditch somewhere and how God worked in my life. That's the counsel from Christ. And next, expect God's guidance. When you trust God, when you know that He is the leader, you focus on His thinking. What's God thinking? Read the book that He wrote. You'll find out not everything He's thinking, but you'll find out all you need. And then if there's extra, He'll share that with you. It's called prophecy. For each individual Christian, God will bless that way. He give us counsel, and then He says, I'll guide you on that path. God does not just throw us down on a path and say, take off. He says, I will be with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Oh, follow me, Larry. It's not Larry saying, okay, Lord, I got this. Follow me. God is not going to follow us because we're going to head straight for the ditch of life. And we're not going to make it around a lot of curves in life because those curves are too sharp. One of the top 10 favorite verses of the Bible. Here we go. Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. From this simple verse, we're going to look at three things that can help us on our focus of knowing that everything's going to work out. Number one. We must believe God's word to us. Now, believe God's word to us or to you. You believe God's word to you. You believe God's word to you. Each individual, it's not, folks, a different Christ. It's not a different God. It is God directing each one of us as different individuals. And as different individuals, God says, I have a word for you. You see, the word that God has for you is a word that it doesn't have for anyone else. Each one of us are individuals. Now, you will say, well, wait a minute. Now, doesn't He teach us all the same thing? Every one of us are different. There's never, ever been, never will be two people alike. Never will happen. Identical twins, that's just for us. You know, to us, I can't tell them apart. Well, half the time, I can't tell preachers apart. You can't tell apart. That's a physical thing. God says we're all individuals. So therefore, the word to me and what He's called me to do, He will not give you the exact direction. Because, folks, God's word is to go out throughout eternity into all directions. And every individual born has been given an opportunity to accept the leadership of God and to follow His direction. Now, when we do that, we help lead others to Christ. Even though we're never just the same, each of us are also similar to one another. Some of us like the same kind of pie. Some of us could not stand to eat the kind of pie that the other one's eating. But a lot of times we will have, some of us enjoy certain things to do, certain movies to watch. Not everybody, normally within the same family, nobody likes the same movie anywhere. That's why we have to have 4, 5, or 6 television sets throughout the house. Remember Mom asking me, she has 3 TV sets in her house. And she said, I want that one in the spare room hooked up. And I said, for who? Well, I just want to know that I have it hooked up in case I ever need it. Well, I said, you never have to move from room to room, from her bedroom to the kitchen and to the living room. All the TV's on, and it's on the same station, so she never misses a thing. So as the Lord deals with us individually, He says for us, I'm going to put you all on the same station, meaning me. It's all going to be through my son Jesus. But each of you have your own personality. Each of us have our own little things that we do that aggravate somebody else. Some are, well, gosh, I won't get into that. But I remember, listen, one time in one group, they were telling me how that they were trying to figure out the idiosyncrasies of one another that their spouse did not like, and they went from picking nose to picking toes. And I thought, you know, some of those things you folks just need to keep in the family. I mean, just keep them there in the house and talk through it. You must believe God's word to you. This promise is only, now this is important, only for those who love God. Now, folks, God loves everyone, but not everyone loves God. And for those who love God, God says, I'm going to tell you and give you some special direction in your life. I'm going want you to know that what I'm getting ready to tell you is based only on those who love me. Well, you see, if you don't love the Lord, if we have not accepted His Son, what proves my love? I've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life. I believe that He is the Son of the living God. I know the story of Jesus, that He came to earth to die on a cross, to take my sins, because He was sinless. He took my beatings. He conquered the evil of life, conquered the grave, conquered death, and He come back, and He's coming back to get me. Okay, if I know that, then what I need to do is understand that those who love Him, He will speak to in special ways. It is those Christians of, during the great periods of times of the Holocaust on Christians, what is going on right now in other nations. Have you ever stopped to think about how the feeling that those individuals must have, knowing that they are refusing to denounce Christ, and yet they're going to die, yet they are refusing? And people say, you know, they're just walking to the slaughter and helpless. Well, no, they're not helpless. Let me tell you something. There is such a party going on around them in heaven because this is a glorification of the name of God. And people say, yeah, but they're dead. Now, folks, Christians never die. They were taken away from a body that had been, was being tortured, was being all manner of evil done against them, and God is welcoming them. Now, is it wrong? Should we stand up and yell about it? Yes, because it's pure murder. But I'm talking about the individual who gets that smile in their heart and knowing that they're walking to death. De Niro that couldn't figure out why that those Christians had a smile on their face after the lions had eaten them and their heads were there grinning. You know, that'd have to be a nightmare for somebody, wouldn't it? Be like Darius with David in the lion's den. And then the other guys, remember the ones who conned Darius into throwing the Hebrews in there and, you know, said, well, they must not have been hungry. So he had them and their families thrown in, and the scripture says they were devoured before they hit the ground. Okay, two types of people in this world, those who love God and those who don't. John 14:21, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. John 15:12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Remember, what the commandment Jesus is speaking of, always on this, that the commandment that, you know, that ushers in all, everything else, of all of physical commandments, it's love, based on love. Jesus said also on that, when he was questioned on that, he said, know that the Lord thy God is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. And have the love for your fellow man, or love your brother as yourself. He said those are the two keys. So in accepting Christ, we believe God is one. Yet we have those who are not Christians looking on us and say that, we have three gods, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And only a true Christian knows the difference there. Next, we must receive God's working for us. You as an individual Christian, receive God's working for you. It is God who does the work. It is God who wants to bring blessings to us. And God says, here how this is going to work within your life. If you allow me to do my work in you, everything is going to be just fine. You will know that you are going to succeed in life. Succeeding in life, folks, has nothing to do with how much or how many things you got down here. Receive God's working for you. Behind every promise of God is the providence of God. In other words, here it is. Things don't work out coincidentally. No coincidences with God. That kicks into the luck category. Things don't work out accidentally. Man, that worked out. That was an accident. No, not for a Christian. Things do work out providentially. Now, I wanted to give the basic definition of providence. It is God conceived as the power sustaining and guiding human destiny. That's the providence of God. Meaning God has destined us to be with him. We're destined as Christians, we're going to be with the Lord. Now, on the path and the journey of life, here's where a lot of people, I'm sorry to say, get it mixed up. They're thinking, well, you know, I'm going to go this way, and I know, again, that Mack truck is going to be coming there, and I can't get across the road fast enough. But I know I need to go this way, so I'm going to go. Yet God has said, don't go that way, stupid. Go the other way where there are no Mack trucks. You know, right over here it is. Oh, no, but in order for me to glorify God and show those around me how great God is within me, there's the death of us, folks. We are to express God as his greatness, not how great we are as individuals. Because every time you do that, the Mack truck's going to get you. And we will sort of bend in a different direction than where God has truly called us to, just to so often bring recognition for ourselves. That does not glorify God. Recognition of anything in your life that is great, you let the world know it is a gift from God. When you're hurting, you let the world know, I hurt because of my foolishness. God will heal me because of his love. Genesis 50, verse 20. Remember Joseph? His brothers threw him into the well, sold him into slavery, and here he is, and Joseph now is looking at his brothers, and he says, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. God meant it for good. So, a lot of bad things happen to us. And instead of us fussing and griping and moaning and groaning, God, why did you let this happen to me? I thought I was your child. When we look at that, what we need to do is focus on the good that's getting ready to come out of it. And it's difficult so often for us from the human standpoint. Lord, I have no idea how anything good's going to come from this mess. If we make the mess, it'll take Christ involved in it to make it turn out good. But when you as a Christian are getting condemned, put down, or your traps are being set for you, smile and enjoy the ride. Because God is getting ready to show you a ride that's better than any roller coaster you've ever dreamed of. Because he will take that and turn it for our good. So when he turns it for our good, what happens to these people that, and we still have plenty of them, I hear it all the time. Well, you know, I don't know, I guess, that family, there was something wrong with them, and God just struck them with illness, and God did this, and God did that, and I'm always glad when I can get away from that, because if not, I'm going to upset some folks. God does nothing to us but good. The evil that comes upon us will come upon us either because of our foolishness or because Satan has decided to tempt us. Remember, Satan still has the influence on the physical us, and the physical us includes that brain, and Satan still has that influence, and Satan loves to lead us directly in a trap just to destroy us, just to destroy the focus of your character, just to destroy any hope of the word from you continuing to go out. When Satan is doing that, smile, because he's digging a pit and getting ready to fall into his own trap. You know, he must not be very bright, frankly, because he still challenges God. And knowing, and, you know, he's really on the rampage, the scripture says, because he knows his time is short. But he knows he's already beaten. Our problem is we don't trust Christ so often in that focus of he's a defeated foe. Because we say he has all this power. The only power will be the power you will let him have. Okay, how does he get in on this? He will get in, well, such as me. What will he do? He will attack what I would stand for, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He will do everything that he can to attack me physically or, you know, mentally to make me back away from that and say something else. Have you ever felt yourself being tricked by Satan? You know, you justify. Well, and I've heard many convicted murderers justifying their kill. Watch out, man. Well, the woman needed killing, that woman needed killing. And, you know, they justify their actions. A great preacher of the 1920s, Donald Gray Barnhouse, put it this way. There is no will or act of creatures men, angels, or demons that can do other than work for our good. No dog can bark against us. No man can act or speak against us. No sinister plot of evil can be against us, but all must be for our good. There is no phenomena of nature, fire, flood, storm, earthquake, that can work us ultimate ill. The law of gravity, I love this part, cannot cause anything to fall on us unless it has been sifted through the will of God and His purpose for our good. See, stuff like that have made those preachers great, getting right to the insight of life. So therefore, if we believe that all things work together for our good, when we believe that, then look at number three. You will achieve God's will for you. All things work out together for the good. I believe that I will achieve God's will for me. Now, God's will, folks, cannot be stopped. There's nothing that can stop God's will, including me in my life. You cannot stop God's will in your life. You can mess your life up. But what's the ultimate of God's will? God's will for my life is that I be with Him where He is. That's what He said for all of us as Christians. I cannot stop that from happening. But see, I don't want to stop that from happening. But God says to us, no, you don't, Larry. I know you're mad, but I want you to catch it. You can stop it if you wanted to. That's how strong my love is for you. Now, when God loves us that much, that when we accept His Son, He guarantees us eternal life with Him, the majority of the time we will fight against that blessing or that gift from God. Well, how do I know it? Because we want to, I got to do this for God. I got to do that so that God will love me more. And I know that the Lord isn't really on speaking terms with me today. And, you know, and that's garbage. It's a fact that we're not on speaking terms. It's the idea that we're not going to talk to God. Do you know? God will speak to us when we won't speak to Him. God will come to us and let us go through our little fits. Oh, you know, whining, oh, woe is me, and all this stuff. We go through our little fits, and God just waits until finally we shut up, and God says, you know, I love you. Well, I don't know how you can love me. We argue with God. God, you don't want me. Well, by the time some folk get through, I'm ready to agree with them. I don't know why God wants you either. But God does, and He's going to love you, and you just shut up whining. I'm going to hang my sign back out on my door. You know, no whining sign when I walk in. I understood somebody took offense to that. I don't know why. The last two words of Romans 8:28, because you will achieve God's will for your life. The last two words are a real key to understanding why God works things out for us. Those two words are His purpose, okay? The Scripture says we were created as object of His love. We were created for God to love, and we were given the ability to love God back. So, that's His purpose. The main purpose is to have us with Him. The main purpose is, He said, I want you to be like my Son, Jesus. Listen to this. God's purpose for us is found in the next verse, Romans 8:29. To become conformed to the image of His Son. How can we be conformed to the image of His Son? only through his son. When Jesus said, Father, I know them. They are mine. Father, let me give you their names. Folks, I get excited over that. Yes, God knows my name. And I, you know, that's cool. And not only that, it's just not a name. You remember, God knows a name by which I'm not sure of what it is for me yet. Because he said, I have a new name for each of you. I don't know if there's any donkeys in heaven, but you'd be surprised. You know, you think about that because the Hebrew names, of course, all meant something. And it takes a 2x4 to get us going sometimes. But God says, I love you. You know, I don't care what my name is with him. I'm just excited that I'm his. He loves me despite myself. God doesn't break his promises. To all of us who accept Christ as Lord and Savior, we can know ultimately and eventually for all eternity that everything will work out because he is in control. God does not submit his will to a government. He does not submit his power to any group of people. God says, I'm still in control. You know why we have corrupt governments? Because we elect corrupt leaders. It's because of, you know, we want more and all of this. When folks, as a Christian, there's no need to want more because you got the best that there is. You've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ.